This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
So Conan.
What up?
I've been training and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conan.
Boom.
Oh, Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang, 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 bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, 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 bang. We be dumping. Bang, 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 bang. Just act like you know and homie stop.
Stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feed up. Full of stuff and some dickies.
I rap a lot like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Cálmate un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
We be dropping. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. Just act like.
What's up,
dude?
Hey, what's going on,
Ronnie?
How's it going?
What's up, comrade?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
Cool, man. Thank you for being on here, and we introduce you at the beginning. We put all the bells and whistles and put you over at the beginning, so we just kind of get into casual conversation.
Yeah.
All right.
He's been on before, Conan. You know.
Well, maybe he didn't remember.
They're getting old. Yeah. It's like, Jesus. All right.
So, anyways, Conrad. First of all, I just want to say congratulations, man. Just about everything you do seems to be very successful. And, what are you doing now? Are you doing Pritchard and Bischoff and Shivani? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, and I still find time to do mortgages in there somewhere. I don't know how, but yeah, I'm doing more than I can handle right now.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question then, too. You do those. To me, that would seem like the easy part. Are you booking StarCast?
Yeah, actually, so I am.
That's gotta be your toughest job right now, right? Well, that process was, right?
It's definitely the most stressful because there's all the stuff that you've got to order. You know, like you've got to make sure that you've got, you know, logistically the right staff at the right space, and you've got everyone's schedule right as far as the individual itinerary of what time do people land, and do you have their airfare and hotel worked out, and then the ground transfer, and then you've got to figure out the meet and greets and what they're doing on stage and make sure none of that sort of overlaps. So that process is painstaking, but I've had a little bit of a heads up of what was coming. So it's not like it all just fell in my lap at once. I started working on a lot of this stuff, you know, in December. So I've had a little bit of time to work on it, and I've got a really, really good group of folks helping behind the scenes. You know, Scott handles all of my hotels, and Chris and Dave handle all of my graphics and, you know, all the web stuff. So I've got a really, really strong team to help with a lot of that stuff. But yeah, I'm sort of the maestro of it all, I guess.
Mike, yeah. Well, one other question here then. Are you like, what is that? Are you like, you do, I know how much work you do, cause I know I'm the one that taught, like if anybody's working on this StarCast is probably going corresponding with you. Are you working like would you say, are you independent of AEW right now or working in conjunction with them or part of it?
No, I'm completely separate. I don't have an AEW email address. I've never been, you know, paid by AEW. They've never booked my travel. I've just handled everything, you know, completely on my own. So we don't have any sort of formal or even informal relationship outside of, you know, just Cody's my buddy and Tony's my buddy and that's it.
Well, plus too, here's a funny thing I think that people are they're critical of when they shouldn't be, is that so AEW's having a big event in Vegas. Vegas obviously is a great town to do wrestling in because people will travel to come to Vegas, obviously. And like it's a big week that like something that you could plan your events around, right? And I just think it's interesting that, you know, in the world of independent contractors, you know, that like you hear stories like where the WWE is upset that some of their guys are appearing at this event. And like, you know, what I'm thinking, like, I'm looking at this whole thing, I'm like, wait a second. Conrad is like an independent contractor businessman and finding like an opportunity to provide an event like this for fans. It's like, what else would you do it around? It's like you want to find another big event to do it in conjunction with. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I've got I'm the little fish. Everybody was coming to Vegas to go to Double or Nothing. regardless of whether or not there was a convention, just like they were for All In. And so you just look for something to piggyback. And that's not, you know, new. You look at all the Super Bowl parties and all the events that happen Super Bowl weekend that are just around the game. Yeah. Of course, everybody's in town for the game, but you've got to find other stuff for them to do. And I felt like WrestleCon really sort of laid the floor plan and the roadmap of how to do this, with them always having their big event in the same host city as WrestleMania. And just like WrestleCon is not officially or unofficially involved with WWE in that regard, I'm not either, but you know, we're at least friendly. We're not at odds because, well, the people who run AEW are more rational thinking and don't think that they own wrestling. And that's not always the case.
Right. But you do have some sort of relationship with them because you presented their show in Vegas, and, you know, like, you worked very closely with them, correct?
Yeah. I mean, I did present, I mean, I was their host, but I mean, I think everybody who's been paying attention to, you know, how announcers are moving around these days, they can probably figure out why I was there and not someone else. You know, I'm a substitute. I'm a fill-in. I'm a buddy who will do somebody a solid. And I don't mind sharing that I do some of that selfishly because, hey, man, I want the rub for StarCast. So, hey, while I'm here, can we cut some promos for StarCast? Absolutely. So why not? You know, if I can do them a favor and then, you know, they feel like, hey, Conrad's a good guy, we need to help him with this thing, great. One hand washes the other. You know, they needed something from me, and certainly I've leveraged that with me saying, hey, guys, come to StarCast, and everybody's agreeable. So,
no, you know, but let me put you over for a second because I've reached out to you a couple of times for you to help me with some stuff, and you've always been very generous and gracious with your time when a lot of guys might have been like, hey, figure it out for yourself. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think also you sow what you know, you reap what you sow. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. You know, I want to help everybody. And Joseph knows that, you know, JoJo, he knows that if there is an aspiring podcaster out there who says, hey, what would Conrad do here? Slide in my DMs and I'll help. I mean, that's not me just saying that to be a nice guy. Like, I legitimately want everybody to do better. And when we start to get into how I'm not doing that and what's in it for me, and that's sort of the negativity that divides everybody, and nobody really accomplishes anything. But when you're good to people, then if I call and say, hey, man, can you help me with this? Everybody agrees. And so if I don't have that sort of goodwill and I haven't put it out there, then people aren't going to be willing to come, you know, put themselves out and put their life on hold to come do StarCast for 4 days. But they will if I've helped them do something along the way. So why not?
So let me ask you a question. When you first started this thing, because you started it with Ric Flair, was there a part of you, because I think one of the things that people like about you is that you ask the questions that fans want to ask, and when the host, which most guys like to, you know, revise history to make them look good, or they like to bullshit the fans, you ain't afraid to call them out. Was there a part of you that was thinking, well, if I keep calling this guy out, he's just going to tell me to go fuck myself? How was that to work in? Because I see that you can get very, you know, contentious sometimes.
Well,
when you
part
feel
of that
you're being lied to. Yeah.
Part of it is just, you know, an entertainment strategy. You know, like here in Alabama, we have sports talk radio, but everybody in Alabama is a homer. So, you know, when they're talking about football games, they're going to say, you know, one of the guys has to be contrarian, you know, or otherwise it would just be, Alabama's the best football team ever. We'll be back after these words. Right. That's not entertaining radio. You've got to have somebody say, well, I don't know, man. If that offensive line on the left side doesn't really pick up the slack this weekend against so-and-so, they could – now, we all know that's not true, but you've got to have somebody present point, counterpoint. And I think sometimes whether Bruce is doing it knowingly or whatever, he's just trying to argue for the sake of arguing. And it just happens that that fits in to a more traditional political talk or sports talk radio format. So it's more entertaining. So sometimes I do wind up arguing stuff that even I know is a little silly, but right. I know that a lot of my friends really believe this. And so, you know, a lot of times what's printed in the Observer is believed, you know, wholeheartedly. There's no room for interpretation. There's no gray area. It's black or white. And everybody on this call knows that, well, some things in there are just some guy trying to manipulate the dirt sheets, quote unquote, to get himself over or push his own initiative, whatever it may be. So rather than dig too deep on that, I just draw a line in the sand and argue it, and then it creates some fun radio. But No, I do think that the format works because I'm a fan and I'm asking fan questions. And I think the fans feel empowered when I push back on something. But it's not in a way where I'm worried that the guy's going to, oh, he's never going to talk to me again. No, he knows that we're putting on an entertaining show. He knows that, you know, like Bruce and I, we have just, you know, motherfucked each other at the top of our lungs. And then an hour later, we're texting like nothing ever happened because that was the show. And we were arguing about WrestleMania 12 or something silly. In real life, that doesn't matter. You know, we're hoping people listen and are passionate about WrestleMania 12. But we're on to the next episode now. So I've never worried about there being some sort of repercussion from a show fight.
What would you say, like, is something that you asked Eric and Bruce that you always wanted to know and you were kind of surprised by the answer? Wasn't something you expected?
That's a great question. You know, I'm always really surprised how little thought goes into some big decisions. Like, I think we fans sometimes want to overanalyze, and maybe some of that is because we're just always so curious about what we don't see, that some of the times, you know, we want to build this conspiracy and this spider web of misinformation and try to dig through. And in reality, it's just, no, that guy's kid was sick, or, you know, his knee was hurt, or, you know, he got food poisoning and we just needed to do something else that day. So that guy was in the back. We used him instead. So those little things that to me, it's like, this is dumb. Why would they do that? Well, the original idea is probably the same one you had, but they had to pivot when just life got in the way. And some of those things are amazing. But the biggest argument I've had with Eric by far is about the way they screwed up the finish at Starrcade 97, where, you know, Eric believes that, hey, Sting his head wasn't in the game, so we didn't go with the original finish. He wasn't ready to be champion. And I'm like, wait a minute, you still put the belt on him. How does that make any sense that you would say we couldn't go with the original finish because he wasn't ready to be champion if you still wind up at the end of the night where he's champion? That's stupid. And then he would argue, well, you know, he didn't show up prepared. He wasn't even tan. As if him being in the fucking rafters for 18 months, well, he's supposed to get a tan up there and a trench coat? Like, right. This whole thing's dumb. But he really believed, because that's something that somebody fed him, brother.
1,000%.
That he needed to be tan. It's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But anyway, that was a big fight. And the idea that, by the way, a guy on this call once lost his job because he wouldn't lose to a woman. However, when Nick Patrick screws up the greatest pay-per-view in the history of the company, the highest grossing event, he doesn't get fired. He doesn't get suspended. He's just calling matches the next day. And the idea that you screw up the biggest main event on the biggest stage, the biggest money thing ever, is somehow not as important as losing to Jackie? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And what do you think happened there?
I think old Fu Manchu said, that doesn't work for me, brother, and told somebody in the hallway, hey, I know here's what Eric said to do, but here's what we're going to do. And then they go out there, and it's not a fast count. It's a regular count, and everybody looks stupid, but Nick Patrick made a decision, hey, who's really in charge? Not what does the business card say, but what's the 1099 say? Who's really in charge? And he made a judgment call that it was Hulk Hogan. And I can't say that he was wrong for doing that. If I was Nick Patrick, I probably would have done the same thing. But I would have also expected to be fired. I mean, come on, you just screwed up the biggest pay-per-view of all time. And when I asked, you know, Eric, hey, what repercussions were there? Well, none. I just asked him what happened, and he told me, and that was it. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Think about this, too. Is think about like the level of what we're talking about right now and the story that went down and how it all came to fruition. And bro, here's the one thing, and this is all, as we've opened up shows like this and guys like Eric and Bruce talk behind the curtain and they tell the stories and you lead them through these so well, and they create pretty good dramatic podcasting. But bro, what I want to know is, and this would be the best stories to tell, is that back in WCW, on the day of the show, the amount of guys that had Eric's ear,
yep.
Okay, what they told him specifically, like if you could go through a day of Nitro, like if you looked at a Nitro, okay, what happened? Here's what happened. If Eric could, like, if his memory would be good enough
to remember the conversations he had with each guy that led him to that decision, that would be such a that deep dive would be just incredibly dramatic TV, because you have some of the biggest politicians in the history of the professional wrestling business that Eric had to coordinate what they wanted to do every single week for 2, 3, 4 years of TV. It was unbelievable. You know,
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is I had dinner with J.J. Dillon once, and he told me that he would be constantly getting calls, you know, whenever Eric would be out at the bar drinking with the boys, and they would come up and they would say, man, I really want XYZ, whatever they were campaigning for, whether it was creative or a perk, you know, whether it was a certain type of airline ticket or days off or a match with this person or a segment or whatever. And he would be getting calls in the middle of the night from Eric. Hey, tomorrow, let's make sure we insert whatever the wrestler request was here. And so by the time JJ got to the office, I mean, he'd have 6 or 8 of these things every day to sort of run through and figure out. And one of those that he told me about specifically was Ray Traylor's contract, where I guess one day when Eric was drinking, he agreed to give Ray a bigger bump and he got a bigger contract. But one of the things that was in there is that he got paid for every pay-per-view, whether he was on it or not. But there was something in the contract where if he failed the drug test, then he would be fired. So every single month and every opportunity, Eric would make sure that JJ ordered Ray Traylor to take a drug test. And Lord, I love me some Ray Traylor, but the idea that anybody thinks they're going to catch him doping is laughable. Like, there's nothing to do here. But they were looking for any reason to get out of that drunken deal that Bischoff made in a bar. Now, Bischoff denies that, but JJ puts his hand up and says, hand to God, that's exactly what happened. And that type of stuff is what makes wrestling fun and these podcasts fun.
It does. That's because that's a story you could put it on. You could do a story like that on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and it would play out the same way. Everybody would think it's just hilarious. You know?
Sure.
Because back then, me and Eric had a super, super contentious relationship. I would say very bad. Now we get along. But I remember, too, the things that they would always say about Eric back then. They would always call him ATM Eric, because it was easy to get money from him. And the other one was that Eric always did whoever the last person he talked to told them to do, which was usually Hulk. You know what I'm saying?
No, yeah. I mean, I think Dusty, once upon a time, had a name called the Flim Flam Man. And, you know, just whatever he heard last, that's what it was. And he's going to say whatever he needs to the person in front of him. And I'd never heard that phrase until I heard Dusty describe, you know, folks in wrestling as a flim flam man. But I think that's probably pretty more, you know, more common than you think, just in business, too, where if you've got to appease a lot of strong personalities, you're usually just going to go with the one that's the loudest. You know, I mean, that sounds unrealistic. But when you're in that spot where you've got to manage these big personalities, not just two or three, but 60, 80, 100 of them, then you're just trying to get through the end of the day and whatever the chaos is.
Can I tell you another thing, Conrad, that is very hard to do? It's very hard to get on a motorcycle and be driving from Minnesota to Sturgis or whatever that fucking trip was that they would do and be drunk and going out to strip clubs and whatever else they were doing. And then sometimes try to keep it professional. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of guys don't look at you as a boss anymore, almost like a friend, and you're trying to be friends with everybody and you can't be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you've got to have a bit of a divide. There's got to be some separation of church and state, because otherwise it gets a little blurry, and then you're trying to appease your buddies instead of appease the bottom line. But, you know, we've even heard stories back in the day. We don't hear it anymore. But, you know, there are stories of, you know, Vince McMahon taking everybody's finisher in a bar and LOD clotheslining him off their shoulders, you know, on the hardwood in a bar somewhere. But you don't hear that anymore. I don't think anything like that exists anywhere.
Bro,
let me tell
you something. I went to a dinner. That was young Vince. He was crazy and fucking, you know. But I went to a dinner once with all the boys, and he got off the dinner table, and he was amateur wrestling one of that Road Warriors at dinner. You know what I'm saying? So
that's crazy.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There's absolutely no way you could do that in this day and age. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. You've grown up in the bit, you started watching wrestling when, like around what year would you say?
88.
What is going on, Conrad? I'd like to get your opinion on this. What is going on now that you're seeing such a decline of attendance in, especially in WWE, as far as ratings and just even house show attendance? What's going on? But you're also seeing like a resurgence in indie wrestling. Is it like people just don't like the product that they're giving them, and they're starting to branch out and fragmentize and watch other little promotions, and they don't have everybody's attention like they used to? What has changed?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of what's changed is, you know, there aren't as many stars anymore. You know, once upon a time, you know, when Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan or Macho Man or whoever came to your town, it was a big deal. You wanted to go. But we live in this FOMO era where everybody's got their head in their phones. Nobody wants to miss out on anything. But really, if you miss a house show, you're not missing anything. You know, nothing's going to happen there. It's very predictable. But, you know, they don't have trouble drawing to the pay-per-views. And I think that's the weird dichotomy, is they know something cool can happen at a pay-per-view, but realistically, nothing's going to happen fun on a Sunday afternoon at the Von Braun Civic Center. Like,
and one more thing, Conrad, the other day, and no disrespect to any of these guys, but this was like last week somewhere, the main event was Kofi Kingston versus Elias. I was like, really?
Yeah, and so that's a great point in that, you know, they have not always been positioned as being top guys on TV. Whereas if you're like, you know, anything that Nick Gage does gets a little bit of underground buzz right now because they're putting him in these really interesting sort of dream style matchups. But they're not forced to have Nick Gage wrestle every Monday night. He can wrestle a big indie show once a month and wrestle Swoggle or something silly like that for Black Pro. And people are like, holy cow, I got to see that. But if you had to come up with something for him to do every single Monday, eventually maybe some of the luster of him being, you know, the guy who nearly killed David Arquette and, you know, the felonious, you know, death match wrestler. Maybe some of that wears off if you've got him in a 3-minute match with the New Day every Tuesday night. So I think, you know, you can become a star with less is more. And then when you do something, it actually matters. It's not just, you know, you're doing 6 minutes at a house show in Topeka.
Let me ask you a question. What was your local wrestling that you grew up with? Did you get Continental in Huntsville?
Continental existed, but it was really before my time. I grew up in Prattville, which is a suburb of Montgomery, so I'm familiar with the theme song, and I know some of the guys, you know, the names ring a bell. But what I grew up on was, you know, that golden era of the WWF. The first thing I remember watching was WrestleMania IV, so Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Andre the Giant, things like that. And then my dad, at the time, was a prison guard, and he worked with a guy who got all the WCW pay-per-view, so I started to be introduced in 89 to Terry Funk and Ricky Steamboat and Ric Flair. And that was a whole nother coat of paint. And I was hooked. I was all in. But I never got into any sort of independent wrestling at all until ECW. And that only happened when I got back into wrestling in late 96, and I got online to look up, you know, the NWO stuff, which was so hot. And I saw everybody on these message boards talking about ECW and the Eliminators and Rob Van Dam and Sabu and Taz. So I set my VCR for the middle of the night. And once I saw that, I was like, okay, this is for me. And I've had a slant for that ever since. The more underground, more gritty, more indie, and less maybe overproduced.
Here's what I loved about ECW was like, because they, I think one of their taglines was, this is not your dad's wrestling or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, it was like women kissing women, the fucking hardcore matches, the lucha libre, the great promos, like you said, the grittiness, the Joey Styles post-production. I mean, it was just brilliant. I really thought it was brilliant.
Well, it broke a lot of rules. You know, the idea that they weren't licensing music and they were playing real music was awesome. And the idea that, you know, I'm 15, I'm flipping through the channels and there's a cat fight with women rolling around in thongs. Right. And one guy's, you know, drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette on his way to the ring. And right. There was a match where Mulineaux, the referee, gave a guy a DDT. It's like, wait a minute, the referee is giving DDT? I'm in. Like, right. This is the greatest thing ever. And it was, and I feel like to a younger fan, I was 15 at the time. But if I was 15 right now, I would be so in love with what Joey Janela and Game Changer Wrestling are doing, because they get it. Like, they're catering to that audience. And I'm maybe not in that demo anymore, but I can still think it's awesome and appreciate the marketing approach they're doing, you know, with the funny arcade graphics. And they had this girl recreate, this little kid recreate a Nick Gage promo. And there's so many funny little things they're doing in there that feels very ECW and caters to that. That niche fan, but I think it's going to be successful. It already has been successful. They sell it out every time immediately, and I hope they continue to do well.
Yeah, well, he does entertaining promotion for his product. That's the one thing people don't figure out. If you're trying to promote for your product, but the stuff's not entertaining, you know, there's too much content to absorb on the internet. You know, they're not going to care. You know, so like, you know, Joey Janela has done, like, everything that guy does is like, has an entertaining value to it. You know, it's like, okay, I got to see this, you know?
It's back to FOMO, man. Nobody wants to miss out. And you want to say that you were there and you want to see it live. And it's cool that it is a little rebellious. It doesn't necessarily fit in the box. And it's weird, you know, the idea that they had a great talent, you know, a great in-ring performer like Matt Riddle on the show last year, and they put him against Ellsworth. I think a more traditional booker, a Gabe Sapolsky, would say, oh, what a waste of a Matt Riddle. But me as a fan, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. We're going to witness a murder. I mean, I'm really looking forward to this. I've never seen a murder in a wrestling ring, but that's what this is going to be. Now, of course, I'm smart enough to the business to know no one's going to really get hurt. But for just a minute, you fooled me into thinking, he's going to brutalize James Ellsworth. I got to see this.
And, yeah, thinking outside of the box, like he used psychosis, which not that many people use, and I thought that was really cool.
And here's a cheap plug. Psychosis is coming to StarCast. I'm pretty excited about that. I've never met him in real life, and nice. I was a super fan of his in WCW, and I don't think he gets enough credit for, you know, what he contributed to WCW and the whole luchador movement that happened on Nitro.
ECW, no. Too?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So right now, are you going to watch WrestleMania, Conrad? Are you going to have time?
I've got to. Allegedly, my sister-in-law is in the main event, so I'm not only going to watch it, I'm going to be there.
Okay. So I was going over this with Disco the other day. Like, we went through the whole lineup, right? There were a couple matches that we were interested in because, like, we want to see, you know, we know Shane's going to do something crazy in his match with Miz, but we're not really invested. There's really nothing we're invested in except the main event. Is there anything you're invested in WrestleMania besides the main event?
I know that this is not super popular amongst certain sections of fans,
right?
But I'm really looking forward to Kofi Kingston and Bryan Danielson. I mean, Daniel Bryan. I thought when I first saw Bryan Danielson in Ring of Honor years ago, in like 2004, I decided he might be the best wrestler I've ever seen. And I saw him wrestle AJ Styles on a random Ring of Honor DVD. And whenever someone was trying to figure out, like, hey, what's going on with Ring of Honor? I would just show them that match. And I think it was called Main Event Spectacles. And the match was so good, they just laid out on commentary. So I've just had such a long appreciation for Daniel Bryan and his work. And the idea that he's in there now and he has the opportunity to not be the guy who, quote unquote, needs the rub, but now he's giving it to Kofi. And I'm not that he's giving him the title. We don't know what the finish is going to be. But I really look forward to that match. And I hope that it's everything that people want it to be. But outside of that, I'm with you. I'm interested in the women's match, and everything else is just sort of there.
Yeah, because Kofi seems to be the new Bryan Danielson, right?
Yes, and I think that's so cool that just 5 years ago, you know, the shoe was on the other foot. And now, right, 5 years later, he gets to sort of pay it forward. I think that match is going to steal the show. I think it'll be the best match of the night. But, you know, I'm looking forward to the main event just because it's history. And obviously, I'm a homer, and we'll see how it goes.
And, Conrad, you always talk about how plans change and it makes things interesting. I mean, you realize if Mustafa Ali didn't get injured and Kofi was never inserted in that match to begin with, you know, this might not have happened. Originally, they were supposed to be scheduling Daniel Bryan versus Owens. But because Kofi got inserted in that match and people went so nuts for him, it changed the entire card.
You know, there's so many things like that where you think, you know, hey, if this guy doesn't get injured, if that guy's not out sick, if this guy doesn't no-show, you know, how does everything change? Mm-hmm. And that part of wrestling is really fun for me because, you know, sometimes we look at these decisions, and I know superstar Billy Graham just went on a rant about how he wasn't happy that Kofi Kingston was wrestling Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's been plugged in to the product. I don't think he's been paying attention. I get if you've been removed and you just see it on paper, you say, wait a minute, that's the world title match? I don't know that I get that. But if you've been watching the show and you've been watching the story, the best stories aren't the ones that are scripted. The best stories are the ones that just happen. And Kofi just happened. And, I mean, when they first decided they were going to sort of put him over in that one SmackDown where he wrestled for more than an hour, when that was over, I think everybody in 1 hour or one show realized Kofi was a made man and he should be in the main event at WrestleMania. And that goes to show you, A, how talented, you know, Kofi is, and B, how deep that roster is, where in one show they could make a guy a main event.
Since being really close with Bruce like you are and having worked with him for a few years and maybe even, you know, knowing what his booking style would be or how he thinks, have you seen a lot of Bruce Pritchard influence on the product since he returned?
I try not to overthink it or look at it at all.
Right.
The first show he was back, when it was Batista attacking Flair in the back, I knew without ever talking to him that was his segment just because it was shot so differently than what they've been doing.
Right.
And I texted him after. I said, great final seg, smiley face. And about an hour later, he said, how could you tell? ? I was like, it just looked different. I mean, it was different enough to where I knew, hey, this is Bruce's influence. And I was guessing. I could have been totally wrong, but I wasn't. That was his segment. And I mean, I can't say that I've watched it close enough now to really pay enough attention. But obviously, that segment being for Rick and it being the last segment on the show, I was not going to miss that one. So I could see it there, but I haven't really paid enough attention to spot anything else.
Right.
Do you watch anything else? Do you watch New Japan or MLW or Impact, or you don't have time for any of that?
No, I do. I watch a lot of it and fast forward and stop for the stuff I like.
Right.
I'm really glad that Teddy Hart is back where he belongs. I think he's been off TV for way, way too long, and I know he's misunderstood, and I know he's different, and I know there are challenges, and there's rumor and innuendo, blah, blah, blah. But the dude's entertaining, and if he's on TV, I want to watch it. And I'm glad he's got a spot.
That's incredible, Conrad, because me and him have a history. Like, he was in Mexico for me for a lot of years. I actually fired him 3 times. But it's good to finally kind of see him, you know, maturing. And here's the incredible part. Everywhere we've gone, Chicago, Philadelphia, Miami, he's the most over guy. It's incredible.
It is. And I can't even really put my finger on why it is, because there are other guys who can do, you know, the physical movements. You know, there are other guys who maybe are stronger promo, or other guys with maybe a crazier appearance. But when you put it all together, you know, the package that Teddy Hart presents, it's just interesting. You know, I can't put my finger on it. I just know, if he's on TV, I want to watch it.
You know what Cody said? He said something like, he said he's kind of like the last of a dying breed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, a cowboy. I like that.
Yeah.
Yo, Conan and Joe. Ew. Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf The Great Wizard to Totally Bear. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just Thank one God. Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern Belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, and it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And its nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. It's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
If he's interested in Manscaped.
Yeah, he's interested in that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The first one is from D. Layton, and it's the subject is first time, long time. Who was the best dancer of all the wrestlers that danced? Fandango, Tracy Smothers, Disco Inferno, Rikishi, Brodus Clay, Bubba Ray. I'm probably forgetting a few. Anyways, love listening to the podcast. Keep up the work. Oops, Men for Ravens email to him. Oh, well. Double Barrel Daryl from Albuquerque. The best dancer is probably Jack Evans, right?
No.
Blue Meanie.
Doesn't Jack Evans do, like, B-boy stuff?
Oh, is that? Oh, he means, like, in-ring?
Yeah.
Like, a performance thing?
Yeah, who's the best dancer? Yeah, yeah. Probably, so it's gonna be Jack Evans, right?
Probably Jack, my boy Jack Evans, yes. Who I just reminded him on Twitter that he lost a bet.
Oh, yeah.
Because he likes this
team in soccer called Cruz Azul, who always chokes. And we made a bet. He lost. He was supposed to wear a dress and a wig down the street. He's reneged on that. And since he's doubled down on that and said he doesn't remember the bet. Let me just say this to you, Jack Evans, from Parkland, Washington, or he's somewhere around that SeaTac area, same place Darby Allin's from. I have a lot of witnesses. Do not make me bring witnesses on the show and call you out. I expect you to put the dress on and put on the Lizzie Valentine wig that you wore and, man up. Go ahead.
Okay, the next one's from HKGR. Subject to, this is interesting. Raven buries disco while Joe laughs.
That's the subject?
Yeah. Let me preface this by saying I'm a big fan of the Philly Entrepreneur. I mean, no disrespect. But just listen to the new Raven Effect episode, and Raven says some guy came up to him and said he's not funny. I admit I popped at the thought of some random guy saying that. When Raven asked him why he said that he responded that disco says he's not funny. Joe mentioned how disco has his own show now, and Raven asked why they were plugging him. Joe responded he was just giving disco, quote, the old back scratch, to which Raven responded, quote, he likes the butt scratch more, unquote. Cue fake side clip laughter. The clip is from 45 minutes and 33 seconds to 46 minutes and 36 seconds. If you want to go on the Ravens Effect episode.
Can you find that for us, Joe?
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Heard the superior one mention intermittent fasting, restricted eating, and decided to take his sage advice. I've lost 7 pounds in 2 weeks. Only between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Don't know how it works. Just know it's working. Just have to remember, drink plenty of water. Thanks, Disco. You're welcome on the intermittent fasting. It's good that a lot of people are starting to get into it. But this guy's a morning guy. I do my meals between 3 and 8. And then do fast after that. Do you have that clip, Joe? I'd like to hear you hear if this guy's accurate with this allegation.
I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but let's see here.
Trust, and I am always honest, if nothing else.
Indeed.
Now, back to the show. Now, I was just speaking about comedy and comedians. Some guy came up to me and said something at the Chicago, something about my comedy being unfunny. And I go, what do you mean unfunny? It was at the cruise where it was like a standing ovation, people laughing hysterically. And he's like, well, Disco said you weren't funny. I'm like, it brings up the question, why does anybody listen to Disco?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, why do people listen to Disco?
He's widening his podcast shadow as well too. He just started a new show with Vince Russo, so he is.
Disco did.
Yeah, he is everywhere.
Really? Mm-hmm. Busy guy.
Well, he does the Conan show. He did a show on Russo's his Realm channel, and now he's also a part of Russo's Patreon stable. So these guys are.
Well, why are we plugging them?
There's a whole lot of podcasts going on. I don't know. Give Disco the old back scratch.
He likes a butt scratch more. Speaking of butt scratches, my dog loves
me. That's enough.
Okay. Wait one second. Okay. Let me start it off. And this isn't my
let be very honest.
Let me just say this. Wait. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
D.I.
Yeah.
Joe. So first of all, I wish you'd kiss our ass like you kiss his on his show. That's number one. Number two, you did bury D.I. Go ahead.
Wait. Where did I plugged his new show.
You laughed at him when Raven buried him.
Look, I'm giving, first of all, too, Joe's laugh, I'm giving 4 Pinocchios. That is not a genuine, that's a phony laugh.
Nasal
that
laugh.
He's doing with, it's a fake. Anybody listen to this, would you agree that Joe deserves 4 Pinocchios for the way he laughs at Raven's jokes? Okay. Because that's what I'm calling.
I say
the next one is from. Go ahead.
The laughter is completely genuine. That is in no way a showbiz laugh or anything like that. I would never fake a laugh.
Next one's from Mike Fegan. The subject is Scott Steiner's health. Once Brad Shepard broke the exclusive news about Scott Steiner's heart attack and impact, it got me thinking about you, Conan, the time you got slapped around like a bitch by his brother Rick Steiner.
Right.
So what I want to know is how come Conan is this keyboard warrior tough guy and all talk and not willing to face people man to man. You deem yourself to be a tough guy and yet you don't fight back. And I speak for everyone when I say R.I.P. Scott Steiner, a true legend. Scott Steiner didn't
Scott
die.
Steiner did not,
did he?
No, Scott Steiner did not pass away. Mike Fegan.
Yeah, so Mike Fegan had a very horrific, tasteless email here by saying R.I.P. Scott Steiner. And he
who is this guy? Because I've heard you talk about him before.
He's the social justice warrior. In the
YouTube.
So you want to cut a promo on him?
Nah, he's bro. Do you remember that match where I don't know if you ever saw this match where Scott Steiner actually we were like almost kind of like you know when an amateur wrestler like he had me mounted like an amateur wrestler would be mounted on you and Shane Douglas was supposed to come out and he was taking forever to come out. As a matter of fact, I think Russo was there when Russo was booking when this happened and he was taking forever. So we were just there and he was hitting me with these like side forearms. I don't know what you'd call them. Yeah, side to the face type of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were pretty stiff, but Rick is stiff, you know? And then somebody came up to me and goes, "Hey man, Rick was pretty stiff." And I go, "Well, I don't, you know, what else do you want? What else did you want him to do in that situation?" And then I remember that I went up to him and I asked him, I go, "Bro, do we have heat or something?" He goes, "No." And I said, "All right." And I just left it at that. And then one time when we were in Puerto Rico, I had asked him, I go, "Bro, let me ask you a question. Do you remember that day that incident happened and that you had hit me on the side of the fights? Did we have heat or did Eric tell you to do something like that to me?" And he was like, no, we didn't have any heat. So we never had any heat. You know what I'm saying?
There was a story back then because if I remember right, it was like the last couple of months leading up to WCW closing. People right. say, well.
Yeah, it was around that time, yeah.
So people say, well, he stiffed Conan, but there was other guys too. It was Hammer, Shane Douglas, you, and like one or two other guys, like in consecutive weeks where it looked like Rick was taking advantage or taking liberties or whatever. And the story was that you guys got together and said, on this last Nitro, we're going to just go out there and jump Rick and beat his ass on TV because it's not going to matter anymore because WCW is closing. That was one of the internet rumors back then.
I know. I didn't even know that happened with those other guys. And like I said, you know, I talked to them in Puerto Rico and everything was cool. We've always been cool, you know. I've never had any problem with Rick.
All right, next one's from Harry Rees, subject is Houston Astros. "Hi, fellas. Wanted to ask you, where do you stand in the..." This is Harry Rees from Vegas, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
"Want to ask you, where do you stand..." Again, it's been banned from commenting on the porn stars. Okay. "Wanted to ask you, where do you stand in the Houston Trash-tros situation? I'm a diehard Dodgers fan, so I feel pissed off when I find out that Houston also cheated in the postseason 2017 when they beat LA to win the World Series. So I'm all for everyone booing the crap out of the Astros when on the road and every opposing pitcher beating all Astro player batters. Do you agree?" Yes. I think the Astros should be severely punished and punished on the field. Like, remember how the Broad Street Bullies in hockey used to just fight guys and stuff everything?
Yeah.
I think they should physically assault the Astros players when they're standing at the bases. Like a gang tackle, you know? Like if a guy's standing, this guy's at second base, the shortstop in the second base and just come over and just give him the total elimination, the ECW move.
Nice.
You know? Would you pop if that happened?
Well, bro, at the end of the day, I think to a certain point, every team and just about every player does some sort of cheating at some level. But this was so widespread. And you know, at the end of the day, I think the commissioner gave him a slap on the wrist. So now the players and the fans are starting to kind of lash out. You know what I'm saying? Because we already saw in spring training, they've been hit a bunch of times. Right, D.I.?
Mm-hmm. Next one's from Joseph Greco, and the subject is "My Time in Vegas." "What's going on, K100 crew? Back again in the mailbag. It's Joe Greco, a.k.a. Real Mo Green, a.k.a. the cousin of the not-so-popular Zanny Phantom." Who is that again, Joe? That Zanny Phantom guy?
Zanny Phantom is – this guy Joe Greco sends in the music from Zanny Phantom, who's his cousin, to the Juicy Seal, and he's been buried at least two or three times. So, yeah. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, what's going on, K100 crew? Back again in the mailbag. It's Joe Greco, a.k.a. at Real Mo Green. Okay, was there for 4 days and had a blast. Spent tons of money but had a great time in the process, so no big deal. I went to Sapphire using the now-memorized 702-303-3430 number. Got a great special limit to pick up my wife and another girl that I think was trying to have a threesome, but I couldn't seal the deal. The driver is excellent, but only gave him $20. Was that enough of a tip? Yes. When I got there, I did receive free cover charge, which is great, a great perk along with a limo ride. Then I got to some cunt just past security trying to get me to buy drink tokens or something. I asked about a free round of drinks. She gave me a blank stare with resting bitch face. I then said, Glenn Gilberti sent me, and she legit said, I don't know who the fuck that is. She asked me if I wanted to buy $200 in drinks up front, And I said, no. He proceeded. I said, no. Thanks, babe. And Zoom passed her. Grabbed us a couple cigars for reasonable price and proceeded inside. I went to the back reception where Disco was normally posted, but unfortunately he was not in that night. The guy back there was really cool and put Disco over several times. He explained Disco would be back later that week. Of course, I was disappointed I didn't get a chance to meet this pure one, but I'm not a total mark, and Disco also came to see a bunch of hot naked girls. And I must say, all the women there were top-notch, very sexy, very friendly, and quite a lot of fun. They loved the two girls I was with, so they got the most out of the action, but I had a good bit of fun myself. Disco was also kind enough to answer my DM message and let me know he'd be later in the week so I could come back and meet him, but I never came back. I never made it back. I just wanted to put Disco over the great deal, let everyone know it's a tremendous establishment. Hopefully next time I'm out there and I get to meet Disco and be able to record a little clip for the show where I bury the Zanny Phantom. The question is, how much should people tip the limo driver? Your tip was fine, $20. What was that bitch's deal in the front just past security? Why did she want to act like she didn't know who the superior one was? Thanks, guys. So the girls at the front island, some of these girls, there's a lot of turnover in our club. They might not even know me. I work in the back. The girls he calls on the phone, the dispatch girls, they know me. The girls that are the cashiers in front, that there's some of the, we have new girls all the time. They might not know who I am.
Plus, so. It's such a big place, right?
Right. It's a big club. Yeah. So that's all the employees don't know me. When I used to work on the floor, they all did. When I worked in the
floor, I heard some of that is by choice. Nothing.
The next one's from Jay Baca. That's a guy that's been on our roundtables. Yeah. The subject is Stevie Ray. Greetings from the Lone Star State. It's a tremendous week for Russo brand members as the great Stevie Ray has joined the brand lineup. Any good Stevie Ray stories from the old WCW days? By the way, Conan, do you know that Russo and Stevie Ray do a podcast called Black and White, mm-hmm. and it's about race-related issues? And the first episode, Stevie Ray was talking about how he thinks OJ is not guilty.
Right. And what did Vince say?
Well, I didn't listen to it, but that was the premise of the show. But Stevie Ray's a great guy. I actually went to bat for him to get him to try to help him get the job as he announced when he was doing color commentary at WCW, because anybody, Coney knows this, anybody that knows like Booker T and Stevie Ray, when we would watch boxing or comment, like, you know, they were fun guys to watch the fights with.
Right.
Because they you could tell Booker and Stevie would be good at commentary. Because right. like when the fight's going on, they like to talk about what they're seeing, you know, so I always knew that they would be good in that spot, you know, because they like to talk and watch sport, you know. So they got big mouths and they're good. But also you know what Stevie Ray used to think was the funniest thing? He used to pop huge. When the Misfits were working in WCW, he thought that Jerry Only, who's the lead singer of the Misfits, was like the funniest name ever.
Right.
Every time he would just crack and say Jerry Only, he would just start cracking up.
and I loved him because he had two of my favorite lines. He would say, when somebody was being a bitch, he'd call him a fruit booty. Mm-hmm. Or I would love one time he got mad at somebody and they were trying to hold them back and he would go, loose me. And I was like, but he actually took me out one time to Houston to this nightclub. It was like all black club called Cristal's, and just a great guy, bro. We got to get him on the show. Didn't we have him on once?
A couple of years ago.
I don't know if he's been.
Yeah.
Has he been on before?
We had him on a couple of years ago, yeah.
Yeah, can you get a hold of him and bring him back? He's great.
Yeah, I went through his co-host back then. I don't know if he still works with the same guy, so I'll see if I can go through. Well, I'll see if I can go through Vince or something and get his.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Next one is from Najee Sneed. Subject: I forgot to put my name in the last email. Hey Conan and Disco, my name is Najee. I commented on a video you posted on YouTube about The Fiend and Goldberg. I said, quote, "The Fiend lost momentum anyway. Seth Rollins? ? The Miz? ? Daniel Bryan? ? Those feuds didn't help The Fiend at all. But even when the WWE tries to build up new stars, the audience usually turns on them because fans are smarter now to force pushes. So they bring back legends because they are now fresh new faces. That's why Brock is still a bit of attraction because he's part time. What is your opinion on when the WWE tries to push new guys, the crowd usually turns on them and gets over them fast? Yeah, but they don't push. They beat these guys too much." When they try to get guys put over, and the crowd doesn't necessarily turn. The crowd just turns because like they don't really treat him like a star, you know.
The crowd can be fickle too. I mean, they started that way with Reigns. They never gave Reigns a chance. I'm a part of that.
Yeah,
you know?
But we all knew why. There was a reason.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with Rollins. You know, Rollins gets the big push. He beats Brock. It's a big deal, and then 2 months later, he's already getting booed. You know, they do turn against the top star or whoever pretty quickly. And that's been a pattern for the last 10 years at least, right? Even before that with Cena.
Then why? Right, because they were sick of Cena, bro. There was a reason. I think for everyone, there's kind of been a reason. They were getting into The Fiend. So why would you be, you know, they were finally getting behind somebody. So why would you do that? You know what I'm saying?
They do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, and plus, they want to go with Goldberg and Reigns.
You can still do that without beating The Fiend, Joe.
No, yeah, and he could have been him versus Cena with the belt still on the line. I agree.
Bro, I can give you four different scenarios.
Yeah.
Listen, I've said this a million times, and I'll say it one more time. I don't know how or why, and this happens sometimes, bro. And it's probably because they're so fucking big. They've lost their way. They're not what they used to be, you know? They were the standard on making stars, building stars, storylines, everything. They don't know how to do that anymore. I don't know why, but with all the people that they have there that were there when business was good, I don't know if they're making so much money, they're just content, or it's too big. But bro, if you can't pay attention to at least Raw and make that good, you're like in kind of big trouble because how's the rest of the company being run? Do you know what I'm saying?
I was at the Elimination Chamber Sunday night, right?
Right.
And I've never, like, the.
I heard that you also had an Elimination Chamber in your room with five other guys. How what was that all about?
Oh, if my room, I'm going over. But
that's true.
The crowd, and there's been stories now going around that Vince doesn't believe in Shayna Baszler. He already wants to kind of pull the plug on her. They're not going to go all the way with her. And I can
tell
you,
what we did to Ricochet.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
Ricochet was on main event this week.
I can tell you from being there that crowd was not into Shayna. Like, I was watching the match. I was sitting up in the box. I was right over all the fans sitting there. And I could literally hear 10 to 12 individual conversations going on. And, like, nobody cared. Nobody was paying attention.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Yeah. How many people were in that arena that you went to?
I don't know. 16,000, something like that.
How many does it hold?
For wrestling, it was probably, I think it was sold out.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. Now in the year 2020, when was the last time you went to a WWE show as a fan?
Yeah, I was at the pay-per-view last year, Extreme Rules in Philly. So I go maybe once a year.
All right, so yeah. Once a year. So my first question is, what is the biggest difference from Joe that used to go to wrestling when you were, you know, a kid and now in the wrestling crowds?
The crowd, the WWE crowd isn't as into the show. Philly crowds used to, you know, react huge to everything. And now, like I said, it's almost kind of, I was taken aback by how little attention they were paying for some of these matches. And the same thing with Seth Rollins' match. Seth Rollins' match, it was so quiet. It was dead quiet during that match that he had. Okay. So
tell me the three or four most over people, doesn't have to be a wrestler, on the show.
AJ.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I'm looking, Brian. Undertaker.
Okay. Yeah. And the three that people like hated.
Rollins. I'm just looking real quick. Rollins for sure. Zayn was getting heat, but it was good heat, you know, like people were paying attention to that match. So Zayn in a good way, Rollins was kind of being ignored, and Baszler, like I couldn't believe they at least didn't have Becky come out and face off with her. Like, they ended the show with her winning and pretty much beating up everybody, and the crowd could not have cared less.
Bro, did she, like, choke out four or five girls in a row?
Yeah. It just
were the people booing at any of this? Or just quiet?
Yeah, it was more quiet. It was more quiet than even booing. So, and people left pretty kind of, like, deflated, you could tell, you know? So.
What was the hottest thing on the show?
Undertaker coming out and attacking AJ. So, you see, I guess maybe. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Why do they always bring back Nostaljax or whatever? Well, this is why. I just saw it live and in person. That Undertaker was the most excited that crowd
got
all night.
Right, because that's always going to get over, bro. Yeah. That's smart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But at least Undertaker ain't going over there and beating a guy and, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and ending his fucking push like they did with The Fiend.
Right.
You know, they brought him in at the right moment. You know, he went in there. He got over on AJ, who he's a good heel now,
yeah.
And people got that pop, you know?
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. And, I mean, it wasn't a bad show, but you can just tell in the crowd when people aren't into something. And like I said, it got to that point where I could just hear people talking, not even about the show necessarily, like just having conversations while the main event's going on. I was like, guys, this ain't good. You know, and they always say, well, you know, Vince is out of touch or whatever, but if that's the reaction he's seeing Shayna Baszler get around the country or whatever, then he's on point with this. I don't know that she's, you know, ready to be that big deal yet.
Okay, I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah.
But please explain to me, which I know you can't because it's not your – because I know you wouldn't do this. But why would you do that to Ricochet?
I don't know. That's
why would
wild.
You do that to the Fiend? Why would you – because that's a Vince call probably.
Yeah.
You know, why would you do that to the Fiend?
Somehow
you could have still gotten, you could have still gotten him over without beating the Fiend.
I guess they wanted to do the thing and crown Reigns at the end of the show, hold up the belt again. We're crowning Roman again. You know, once he beats Goldberg, that's probably
yeah. But he,
well, I don't know if that's
but
the
I'm
main
saying
event.
You could have gotten there without. You could have gotten to where you need to get, Joe, without sacrificing the Fiend. That's all I'm saying.
No,
you have this special guy who's not so special anymore because he got fucking speared in 3 seconds, and I don't even call that a jackhammer. But anyways, he got boom, jackhammered. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but you know, but it gives at the end of the day, you know, I give Goldberg credit, bro. You know, I give him credit. He's doing it. People believe in him. He's 50 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and people, they still get into him, you know, and it's pretty cool because he's from my era.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow, he still works in this era done right. But at the end of the day, you know, all the people that don't like him, when they see that jackhammer, that they're like, wow, he beat him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You just give him more fodder.
Yeah.
And evidently WWE is reading a lot of this, which they used to ignore them before. As you know, they ignored the fan all the time. It just seems they're listening to them a lot more now. But even when they're listening to them, what use is it if at the end of the day, Vince is reversing everything you're doing, you know?
Yeah. And it's,
isn't Vince watching the product enough to see how over the Fiend is and, you know, how great Ricochet could really be?
I've read that he hadn't been there for a while or wasn't staying till the end of shows and shit like that. So it's funny that he's still obviously at the top making all the decisions, but he's really not attending like he used to either. So how can he have a fair assessment of what's going on at the shows if he's not even there, you know? But we've talked about before many times about how Wyatt has been, you know, cut off at the knees and all that. I thought back in the day that he should have been the one to take the streak from Taker and then keep him, build him from there. Like that would have made him
cool. You
know? Bray Wyatt when he lost to Taker at Mania, and I was like, that was a few years ago at this point. But
wasn't there another one where he lost to Cena? Bray Wyatt.
He lost to Cena the year before. Or the
that's
year, yeah.
when they
yeah.
should that right there is when they should have made him. You know, that's a guy that missed out. There was a moment where they could have really, really made Ryback, bro.
Yeah,
and they didn't.
Yeah.
I think it was a CM Punk match. Which now when you talk to him, he's so cool. You're like thinking so, but you don't know how he was back then. He might have been immature. Maybe he might have hurt some people.
Yeah.
Who knows? But he had heat, obviously, you know.
There's a lot of guys taking shots at him on social media. Like, I don't know if they're friends and they're just dicking off back and forth.
Yeah.
But like Ziggler and Wade Barrett. They're all like they keep taking shots at him. Like I think he'll post a picture of him like having Ziggler in a chin lock, and Ziggler and Barrett tweeted back shit like, yeah. And then you know, is this the big guy that hurt everyone and set the business back 10 years and shit like that? And you never know if they're really saying if they really don't like this guy or if it's just goofing off, you know. So, but people, Andrade versus Carrillo match was people were way into that. You could tell Philly was ready for those guys, you know.
Yeah, because the Philly, you know, the fans are smarter now, so they know. They're like, okay, Andrade's a great worker. He's not getting pushed, but we know he's a great worker.
Mm-hmm.
This Carrillo kid's a good worker, too. They're going to go out there and they're going to kill it because they're Lucha guys. They're Mexican. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People, like, know that. Like, they know what's going on, too. But it pisses them off because they're like, they're so smart now that they're like, okay, we'll follow him even though he's not getting a push. But at the same time, you're pissing them off because they're like, why aren't you pushing this guy, you know? And then it comes to the point where how many fans actually say, you know what? I'm tired of supporting a product that doesn't give a shit what me or some other fans think. I'm out. You know what I'm saying? How many of those people are you driving away? Is it more than you're bringing in? You know, so...
That's what happened to me. You know, I don't watch the TV anymore. I'll go to the shows, like Shane will hook me up or whatever, and I'll take my dad or my brother. They like it, so that's a cool little perk that I get.
And here's here's the other thing that they were great at, and WCW was great at this too, bro. And you'll remember this. When WWE's been at its hottest and WCW was at its hottest, it was must-watch TV. Like, you couldn't wait to the next week to see what was going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't see that anymore.
No.
The last time I felt like that in WWE was CM Punk.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you?
Well, obviously, I was such a big fan at one point that I started a podcast. So I was way into it, and then it tapered off, like, a few years ago. You know, I went down, I was down at Mania. Maybe that's when I stopped really being that into it. It's like, all right, I've been down here, I've seen all the stuff I wanted to see. The TV's not that good. I don't know, but it's been a few years since I regularly was, you know, like crazy about the product.
Well, because here's the thing, when you grow up with the great wrestling you grew up with and we grew up with, and then you see this,
yeah,
we have something to compare it to, and we're like, fuck, this, you know, could be so much better. A lot of kids don't have anything to compare it to. That's all they know, and they're like, okay, this is entertaining to me, you know, but obviously it's a much smaller sample size.
Yeah.